Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I feel emotional.
I know you feel emotional. Are you ready? Oh,
yeah.
Makita's so excited, I don't even know what to do with her. It's like losing her shit completely.
I haven't seen for like 6 years.
Hello.
Come in, come
You must
in.
Be Felicia. How is it you look exactly the same?
Exactly the same.
A tiny little bit grayer.
My hair was jet black the last time I saw
you. Slightly annoying,
it's crazy.
Isn't it?
Okay,
come
so
on in.
Come into your sort of bespoke Korean life.
I'm just doing a bit of plating. Yeah, can I say, your message was hysterical. Because I go to people, you know, what do you like? And they're like, you know, tomatoes, I like lamb, I like fish. You're like, I quite like a bibimbap. Banchan, I'm like, all right, Steve Jones.
We know you no. still.
No. Yeah, exactly. Hey, babe.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I've listened. True. Challenge accepted.
Exactly.
Challenge accepted.
So, for a drink, I've made a dirty old screwdriver.
Yeah. Well, you know I like a screwdriver.
But I was like, what's that shitty drink that we used to drink all over England? I was like, a screwdriver. Yeah.
What were we eating? So, and I'm not, you know, a Korean chef, but I've taken some Korean inspirations. Also, I didn't have any gochujang. So, I've made some little chicken skewers, but I've used some white miso and some kind of hot pot peanutty seasoning and some chili and some other delicious things. And then we put those on the barbecue. We've got a steak that's been marinated in some fermented black beans and garlic. Whoa. And then we've got these spinach with sesame and sesame oil, and then some pickled radishes and then a sort of salted cucumber with onions and then some red pepper flakes. And here, this is pickled wild garlic leaves.
Oh, yes.
So you know, having been in Korea as a star model, you know Sam,
yeah,
where you wrap everything, they wrap different things in different leaves. So when it's wild garlic season in Korea, they wrap, they use wild garlic to wrap. So the steak, this is made by my Korean friend called Young Hee, and she oddly lives in Wales.
Yeah.
Okay.
The big old, very famous Welsh-Korean connection.
Yeah.
And she made this for me, and I've had it in the fridge, and I thought, oh, great, I can use the wild garlic. So you take a leaf of that,
yes,
and then you take a piece of the steak, and you wrap it around the steak and stick the whole thing in your mouth.
Amazing.
And then there's some steamed rice, because you said you liked steamed rice.
Love
and
it.
And then this is a little reduction gravy made from the marinade of the chicken and a bit of Shaoxing wine and butter. Because butter...
Because you gotta have butter.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Incredible.
Everybody. Steve Jones is with us today. The man who knows all my secrets and knows everything about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a mistake, having me on
this is
a big mistake.
Yeah, especially when we're giving him alcohol as well. It's all going to come out.
So, yeah, Steve Jones is here. And who have you brought with you? Who's your guest today?
This is my wife, Felicia Jackson-Jones.
Hi.
Felicia Jackson-Jones. Yes.
Jackson-Jones.
That's actually who Steve Jones.
That is an excellent name.
I'm technically Steve Jackson-Jones. Yes. I took Felicia's name.
Steve Jackson-Jones, Felicia Jackson. That is a great name. It just sounds very like your at stuff.
Just so bored of being a Jones. It's the most boring name in the world. Everybody in Wales is called Jones, so
it's
I had this amazing opportunity to become a Jackson Jones, to hyphenate that bit.
And I
went for it.
You took
it. And I love it.
Also, it feels like it just works. Like Jackson works.
works with the Jones.
Awesome, isn't it?
Nice. Mm-hmm.
My full name, actually, Stephen Ashton Jackson Jones.
Yeah, of course, the Ashton.
You sound black. That sounds like a black man. No, Stephen Ashton Jackson
I was just
Jones.
About to say, there's a famous film with Carl Weathers called Action Jackson.
Action Jackson, yeah,
Carl Weathers.
My last memory of us is me and you in that kind of weird time where we were maybe going to do breakfast radio.
Yeah.
I was like 31 and I wasn't really working. I was not in a great place. Steve was in quite a good place, actually. But we had a really honest conversation. We went for a drink and we were both a bit like, if this is how it's going to feel trying to be a broadcaster, then they can kind of do one.
I think we were both just a bit tired of being told what we could say and we just really wanted to be unfettered and be Stephen Makita, and there was no platform to do that.
I
think there's still no platform to do that unless it's something like this, a podcast.
It's so one of the reasons why we wanted to do this. Yes.
It's the Wild West. Anything goes on here. I can say anything I want.
Wait,
I mean,
do it. Not,
I don't want to
say you can say exactly what you want.
I didn't realise that you were American until today. I didn't know that you'd met in LA. You met in LA, right?
We met in LA.
Tell us the story. How did you guys
meet? This doesn't paint a pretty picture of me.
But it was very old-fashioned. It was just at a bar. I walked in. It was the Soho House in West Hollywood. And I looked at the grand staircase, and he was standing there at the bar. And I was like, oh, who is that? And my friend that I was with was like, you got to go talk to him. And I was like, no. And she finally, goaded me into, approaching him and his friends. And luckily, his friends were like, oh, hey, girls, come have a drink with us. But he was, had his back to us.
Oh, that's very unsteady.
No, I was engaged
in
a conversation.
He was talking to his other friend. And then, so they're like, Steve, meet our new girlfriends. And he turned around and he was like, hi, turned back around.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not quite true.
It is.
I turned around and I went, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And then I turned back because I was engaged in a conversation with somebody. I didn't want to be rude to them. So I thought I'd be rude to the person
I
just met.
Yeah.
And I really didn't think much of it because, I turn around, I'm like, oh, beautiful woman. Hello, nice to meet you. But I'm talking to this chap.
Nice to meet you, beautiful woman.
It was
very matter of fact,
though. It was like, oh, hi. And then turn around. It wasn't like
hi, whoa, nice there you are.
Yeah.
He was wanting a whim
sauce. Yes. Yes.
I get that.
What would you prefer if I turned around and I was like, hey, baby?
No.
What are you?
More like
that would
hello.
Be worse. That
exactly.
Would be worse.
Terrible.
Would be
no, more
that?
Like, oh, where did you come from? That energy.
Where have you been all my life?
You been all my life?
Heaven must be missing an angel.
Yeah,
that kind
of stuff.
So how did it progress from turning his back to like...
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, so me and my friend went off after we had a cocktail with him and his friends. Without any interaction with Steve, really, because he still had his back to us.
Very important conversation.
And I thought, that guy's such a jerk. I'm not talking to him. And so we went off, and then we came. My friend was like, let's go back for another round. They'll buy us another drink. And
back for another round of humiliation.
And I was like, oh, gosh. But then by this time, he was fully, engaging, and it just slowly turned into me and him just talking and separating from the group.
Aww.
And
I was like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. Sorry, I did say sorry about it earlier,
but I was having
a conversation, but it's really nice to meet you. I'm glad I got a chance to speak to you again.
From Steve's interaction with women over the years when we were working together was just like, he did just look at women and they'd get all silly. And I'd be like, what the hell is going on?
I believe
insane. But me and Mum were talking about it, and I think the interesting thing about it is because you're obviously very handsome and always have been, but you're very smart and very charming. That was what drew women to Steve, and I thought that was a really lovely thing because I think also you love women and you're interested in them.
Absolutely.
Did you grow up with lots of women?
No, not particularly. I mean, I got two brothers, blood brothers, Jonathan and Chris, but I suppose I did inherit a sister, Gemma, when my father married my stepmother when I was 18, and she was...
That's quite late, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they married... they married when I was 18, but Sean and her son John, my stepbrother, and Gemma, my stepsister, moved in when I was about 14. So I suddenly had a sister in the house.
Right.
It's
good.
But I've just always, I preferred the company of women, to be honest with you.
Oh.
I know men. I'm one of them. I get it. I'm far more intrigued by the opposite sex.
Well, I've never really asked you this. How did you feel about the way you looked when you were young and kind of that becoming a thing and people talking about how handsome you were all the time?
What a question.
And no, because it was a very real thing.
Yeah, I just ignored it, you know. It's people say nice things about me, thank you very much, but I'm not going to focus on it too much. I mean, become that self-involved, that's not good for you, I don't think. So
that's kind of the healthiest way to respond to that stuff, isn't it?
I mean, don't get me wrong, I like to look good. You know, I want to present the best me when I'm in public, and I think that's one good thing about being on TV. You're always trying to look after yourself and keep fit and all the rest of it. Mm. But I'd never really focused on it that much, to be honest with you. I mean, even when I was modeling, I was told that I was just kind of like...
Go on, what did they say?
Well, you know, I failed dismally in London. I think that was good for my ego at the time. I moved to London after being a huge success in Korea. modeling. I thought, this is it. I'm going to be a model. Here we go. So I moved to London, and London was like, no, you're not going to be a model.
That's not happening.
You're not interesting looking enough. And I went to Storm, Elite, all the big modeling agencies at the time. I don't know who they are now. And they were all like, you need to go to a specific agency in Knightsbridge called Goodfellas.
What did they do at Goodfellas? Is it like catalogs?
They specialize in, yeah, well, Andy, nail on the head. Fast 2 weeks later, I'm in a field with a wax jacket on, my arm around a cocker spaniel, pointing to the sky. You know, the classically good-looking guys.
So you were very quickly at the right agency.
Yes.
And you thought, you know what, I don't want to do this. I'm not interested.
It was more even then. I did a bit of work. I did the Armani show in the Royal Albert Hall, which is really cool. I did a bit for Pringles.
Wow.
The fashion... label, not like the crisps.
I thought you meant the crisps.
That's because you said barbecues.
That was an interesting segue.
The fashion people, yeah.
Pringles.
No, if you say Pringle, that's the company, the clothes company. Pringles. All right, just Pringles.
I mean, getting it wrong. Yeah, Pringle. Pringle, drop the S. All right. But even then, I wasn't successful. The jobs just dried up pretty quickly.
So I guess at this time, I'm already doing Pop World and stuff because we sort of were put together and told that we were just going to be doing T4 together a few times, I think. So I think for me, if I had gone into T4 and it wasn't with Steve, you know, I mean, you're hearing what a firecracker I was anyway. So I think if I didn't have you... at that time,
what, keeping you on the straight and narrow.
I really would have gone off the rails. No, but I mean, I wouldn't have felt so safe doing all the things we did. And also, I was losing my mind. I didn't really know how to handle it anymore. I think I was becoming a grown up and realizing that I was really well known and I couldn't escape it and all that stuff. So
an insane platform to grow up in. I mean, we were so lucky that we didn't get the whole Twitter social media thing.
Can you imagine?
We were far better presenters for it. I'm convinced that if we had been, you know, dragged across the coals daily, going, oh, why have you done that? That's not funny. Well, that's stupid. What?
Yeah.
We wouldn't have had the freedom to do whatever we wanted to do.
We're so lucky that we had that kind of school.
Yeah, absolutely. We cut our teeth in the best place imaginable, you know, and it was live and it was exciting and we're all great presenters for it.
The way social media affects people who work on TV is, I mean, I think it's quite adverse, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I also think in terms of people's mental health and how you manage on a daily basis, like before people were just shouting at the telly, now they can actually get to you
and say things.
And some of it is so vicious. I'm really lucky. I don't know why I'm so lucky. And I'm waiting for it to change because it always changes. But I've had friends who've just been through, actual hell. Do you know what I mean? And they don't want to leave the house. They don't want to come out the front door because they're, you know, scared that they come outside and next thing they know, Twitter is going to be like popping up.
Did you ever get any of that when you married Steve?
I think there was one person that tried to troll me by saying, you're no Megan Fox, which I was like, I don't know what that means.
I didn't respond or anything.
That was like a long time ago. And I was like, what does that even mean?
Yeah. P.S. You're no Megan Fox. Okay.
I'm also not, I don't know, whoever.
Yeah, so you never respond, but I just thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
there was no context. It was just kind of a random like.
So when you met him,
yeah,
he was already famous here.
Yes.
Were you doing X Factor America? Because that wasn't the easiest time for you. It was quite an unpleasant experience.
Yeah, it was tough. But also the best thing that ever happened to me because that's when I met Felicia. So even though it was pretty much career suicide at the time.
What happened?
Well, because Simon and the X Factor bunch were dangling the carrot Of potentially doing American X Factor. So it just kept going on and on and getting pushed back and pushed back. And I was in the running for it. So I kept turning down multiple big gigs in the UK in order to keep in the running for that. And I'm going to go with Simon. Hey, that's the business. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, it was really tough because I landed that role. I got it. Everybody wanted it. I got it. And I thought, well, this is it. This is the start of the big time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. And the show itself wasn't what I hoped it would be. You know, if ever the maxim, careful what you wish for,
right,
was ever spot on, it was that, because I thought it was going to be great, and it was great to be part of a big show like that. But when it, you know, when I suddenly dawned on me, oh my God, this is hardcore. I don't know if I'd like being part of this. Ironically, you know, the decision was taken out of my hands at the end of the day. You know, they just they let me go after season one because it wasn't the success everybody was hoping it was going to be. The show died a slow death after that.
What do you do with your life, P? Well, am I allowed to call you P? Do we all call
you
P?
Can we call you P?
Call me P.
I call you P.
I get called all kinds of nicknames. Felice, Fish,
oh,
P.
We wanted to talk about your actual name.
Felicia.
Yes.
Yeah. My parents, I'm one of four girls.
Oh, yeah.
And they named us all after pop culture people at the time. So
Felicia Rashad.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just loved how it was spelled.
She's
so
fabulous.
Yeah.
And I don't know her. Who is she?
She's the mother on The Cosby Show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Felicia Rashad.
I didn't know that was her name. Ooh.
Yeah. She's very cool.
She's super intelligent and just like, she's really cool.
What are the other sisters? Can we ask?
So the oldest is Sheena. After Sheena Easton.
Yeah, Easton. Scottish.
And there's me. Is she Scottish?
Sheena Easton, Scottish. Yeah.
Oh, Sheena Easton.
And then
don't tell them who's after. See if they can get
Whitney.
Oh no, who's
okay? Oh my God, you've actually got a Whitney. Amazing.
I don't know if you'll get Chelsea though.
Chelsea,
really random one.
Wait a minute. Oh no, I know. No. I know. No, you'll never get it.
Chelsea
Clinton.
Yes, I was going to say Clinton,
I
but no.
I take it back. Yeah.
Chelsea Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah. Very random, but yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So what do you, I don't know what you do.
Wait a minute. I just want to know. Because I just really want to know where Felicia's parents are from.
Oh.
So my dad is from the deep, dirty South, Arkansas. He was born and raised there. And then my mother kind of bounced around with her military-ish family from like New Mexico to Cleveland, Ohio, and then ended up in Vegas. And that's where my parents met. And then that's where I was born in.
And you were raised in Vegas, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, were you?
Yep.
Wow, what's the, I've never been to Vegas.
You've never been?
No.
We went low.
Awesome.
How?
Awesome.
I feel like I'm not sure I'd like it.
You would love it.
Everybody give you a
list. No, Steve, I don't know whether my mother would love
Vegas. No, she would 100%.
Yeah.
Because it's everything. It's like, it's what do you want your evening to be? Mm-hmm. It's all
it's
there.
It's not because, you know what I hate is an arcade. So I'm like, is it just like loads
Vegas
of arcades?
Vegas might not be for you. No. I'm joking. All that stuff is there, but everything else is as well. You know, world-class restaurants, amazing bars and nightclubs. For instance, we tend to go in December, you know, around about Christmas time. We spend a few days up in the mountains. We're in a log cabin in the snow. It's skiing.
There's
up
mountains.
There, massive hiking trails.
Desert.
There's
it's everything. It's everything.
Did we do like two or three trips there?
The first time I ever went was with you.
Really?
We went together, yeah. It was about 2005,
yeah, it was. But it was my first time in. It was when we did North American tour. We did San Francisco, Vegas, and LA. And I actually got really homesick.
You used to get homesick all the time.
You were so young.
Oh, I know.
She used to get homesick all the time, apart from when you went to Aspen.
Oh, I loved it.
And she was like, Mum, I'm a genius.
Oh, yeah, no.
I am on the advanced ski slope and the ski man is asking me how long I've been skiing. It was the first time she'd ever done it.
It was unusual how quick she got to grips with
it.
I was
really
all over the shop and like, you know, we got
crazy town. I was like, I'm
trying to think of a famous skier to compare you to, but I came up blank. All I had was Eddie the Eagle, but that's not quite.
Can we get something a bit cooler?
Welcome back to our table with Steve Jones and his wife, P. What do you think of the food? What do you think? How well did Mum do with her Korean ham?
The flavor.
Bloody
I am
awesome.
Dying over it. It's all so, good.
Good.
I was just thinking when you were telling the story about Aspen, I remember it vividly. It was extraordinary. And just how lucky we are to have the jobs that we have had over the years. And how, I'm not going to speak for you, Makita, but me personally, I'm the kind of guy when I go away to a city, I'm like, where's the pub? Mm-hmm. I'll just sit in that pub the entire weekend. But with presenting, what it forces you to do is, hey, you're in New York, you're going up the Statue of Liberty. You've got to do things. And it's been a really good thing for me to do that, because I would just sit in the pub all day otherwise.
Yeah, it sort of made us become adventurous.
Yeah, because you have to. That's the job. If you're going to be in San Francisco, then guess what? You've got to go to Alcatraz. You know, you got to go to the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah,
you have to do these things. That's why you're there. And I've always loved the job for that.
When I was doing GLR, when I was doing a radio show every single day, it was so good for me. I'd been through quite a lot of weird stuff. My brother had died and all sorts of crappy things had happened. I was quite depressed. But I was doing this radio show and it was amazing because it forced me, and it was an arts and entertainment show. So every day there was somebody who'd written a book, made a film, written a play, doing a dance performance, something like that was happening. And I was forced out of my depression, out of my state of just wanting to be on my own in the house, not talk to anyone, not do anything. And I had to re-engage with somebody every single day, 5 days a week. Mm. And it sort of helped me get better.
Yeah.
It was one of the things that helped me get better, because I had to just like
Just get being around my shit together. Creative people as well. Yeah. It's just good for the soul, you know, clever, interesting people.
Can I please ask her what she does
yeah,
now?
Yeah, sorry, now you can ask.
No one will talk to you. What do you do with your life?
So I mainly write recipes for a supermarket, well-known supermarket.
What kind of recipes you write? What kind of stuff do you...
I started off doing a lot of their healthy recipes, and then it kind of spilled into, like, the advertorials and seasonal things sometimes. And
are you a nutritionist?
Yeah, I studied it just so I could add that to my recipe writing. Yeah, just making sure...
Have you always cooked then?
Yes.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Since I was 8, I'm like...
Oh my gosh, she's like me.
I want to say I was self-taught, because both my parents worked. They were both out of the house, and it got to a point where I was sick of eating like macaroni and cheese from the box or like pot noodles or whatever. So I would just go in the fridge and start experimenting with stuff.
Oh,
and
good God.
Slowly but surely, I started like making real shit. Like I was like, oh my God, I made like a chicken with paprika sauce. So,
right.
Yeah, and I was only 8 years old. So
were you using recipe books, or did you just make stuff up?
I would just make stuff up.
That's great.
Yeah. But then eventually when I got my own place, when I like left home, I started using recipe books. And that also really like taught me different techniques and stuff. Mm-hmm. So...
God, did you cook for Steve all the time? Oh, for both of you?
I did. That's how I hooked him. I was like...
Always. That's how I got Garfield as well.
That's
how I got Garfield too. I made him chicken.
He was a vegetarian before he met my mother.
You turned it.
He hadn't eaten meat for 13 years.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And now he's like goat curry.
And I made honey-baked chicken, and he went, fuck it.
Wow. Converting a vegetarian, that's got to be on the CV.
Nana did it to her husband as well. My best friend did it to her husband. He'd been in Japan.
Convert vegetarian.
It's not hard. So you left America and came.
I did. Because we were in LA living together for about a year before he was like, I got to go back. You're coming with me? And I was like, yeah.
I didn't want to stay there any longer in LA because I wasn't getting the job offers I wanted. Yeah. And I didn't want to end up one of those dead behind the eyes wandering around LA going, it could still happen.
Yeah. Oh,
I stayed, shut shop, go home. Yeah. And I said, Felicia, I feel like I need to go home for my career, but I don't want to leave you. Will you come home with me? And she said, yes.
Is that when you got married?
We got married about a year after that.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And it's been awesome ever since. Best thing I've ever done.
Was it scary?
No, actually, I was ready for a change because I'd been in LA for 10 years at that point.
Right.
And I was starting to get that icky...
That is quite enough time in LA.
Sick of the people there. Just like all the, like, everyone's just so competitive and nobody roots for you. And it starts to like... really crawl into your skin where you start to hate everyone.
Yeah, it's like there's no community.
Yeah. Mm. And so I was like, I think I'm done with all this. I'm ready to go to Britain. Everyone here is so lovely that like once I moved here, I was like, this is a different, like I'm enjoying this change.
How long were we living together for in LA?
About a year and a half.
Yeah. But we knew that it worked before we moved to the other side of the Atlantic. Obviously, you got to know what you're getting yourself involved in. And we're like, okay, we love living together. Let's just do it in a different continent.
And you live in the countryside now, though. So yes. Have you got community there?
Well, Felicia has, but yes, I'm antisocial.
He's a bit.
You haven't met the neighbours.
I say hello to them.
Yeah, he's cordial, you know, but he won't be like, I'm coming over for a barbecue. No.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm fine with F1. I'm just getting around all the time when I have my F1 family, mm-hmm. and obviously I have my family back in Wales and I have my London friends. I mean, just there, I just want it to be, you know, my fortress of solitude with my wife.
With your wife.
I don't, it's just too much. I'm too old to be starting again in a new community, so I'd rather step back
or
and be
not,
on
my... You're not 105. You sound like the 100-year-old man who climbed out the window. I'm too old to be making
new friends. I can't be making new friends again.
I
can't
do it. Of course you can.
No.
Your best friend might be in that village.
I can. I just don't want to.
I was just thinking when we were younger, I did try and drag you to things, and I quickly learned that there are the things that you like to do, yes. which is like bar, five people you love.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's pretty much
I was
it.
Like, yeah. I'll stop.
That's maybe pretty much it.
Yeah, and like, or a good restaurant, but it was always like, you always like to have like the kind of safe crew, and I don't think you've ever been kind of searching for more than that. Oh. That rooty stuff.
Yeah, but this is perfect. It's the four of us right here. As soon as you have an extended friend group of like 15 people and you're in the same room, that's crazy. It's too many people.
There's too many people.
You can't be that real with that amount of people. You need a smaller group.
You really don't like wild cards either.
I get nervous of wild cards.
Yeah. I get it.
I'm like, who are you bringing? Can you send me like a short video of them speaking to the camera? Who are they? What they do?
And tell me about their energy.
Yeah, I need to see. It's too much. Again, too old for that. I just can't be bothered with breaking new ground like that.
So what about TV and work now? Because I think also the other thing is being a broadcaster is quite people-y, isn't it? You're constantly talking to different people,
fascinated
big teams.
By people, you know, and by society as a whole. But I've got loads of friends in my life. I don't need any more. So that's, it's a different thing. But yeah, I like people. I'm interested by people. I want to be around people.
Yeah.
But on my own terms.
Yeah. With my rules. Nice.
But
organized.
You're right. Everything we do is like, it's people, isn't it? It's people. Yes. It's conversations. Yeah. Chat, chat, chat.
And I mean, for what you said, F1, Formula One's the, what you do for Channel 4 and have done for, is that 10 years now as well?
This is my 8th season. Oh. So eight years.
I don't understand
racing.
Car racing. I'm not begrudging anybody else their enjoyment of it.
People just love that sport.
I tried to talk to people about it and they've got quite annoyed with me. I'm like, I'm not having a go at you. I'm just trying to understand your joy. Because I'm just like, but they're just going round and round in circles. I don't get it.
Cars racing against one another,
going
around taking one another.
Is fun.
Jeopardy,
that
all
is
over
extraordinary.
It.
And don't forget, it's the people in the car as well, the personalities.
Eddie something. What's he called?
Eddie Jordan?
No.
Eddie Irvine?
Older. Eddie Irvine.
Yeah.
He drove me in a car once and I told him he was going way too fast.
Okay,
I was like, mate, want to slow down?
Did you have to get into it?
Well, when he had to like crash course learn about it before he started.
Oh, so you did have a little crash course, yeah.
Oh, I had to. I didn't know anything about it.
Did you not?
It's the old adage. Someone says, can you ride a horse? You say, yes. Ridden a few Grand Nationals in my time. I've won a few of those. I'm an equestrian. Love a good old horse, but you just...
I love that about our job. I love that you can have a phone call that changes everything.
Yeah.
I do like that excitement. So, TV, but you wrote a book.
Oh, look, yeah. That's not deliberately sat there like that, by the way.
No, I was reading it, and then I put it
That looks like we sort of staged it there, didn't
Very
it?
Nice to see it.
I was saying to Mum earlier, I'm so happy that this is something that you're doing and that you've done, because I don't think people ever realise how smart you are. And I loved knowing how smart you are, and I liked it being my secret. But I think it's really important for people to know how your brain works. And just starting to read it, Steve, I was like, oh, my God, there's Steve's brain. Like, just the way...
that's lovely.
It's a very particular cool kind of brain. And we used to have the maddest conversations, like our conspiracy theories and, you know, like our seven-hour drives back from Wales or wherever we'd been filming. And we would just talk. And I feel like all those ideas, you know how frustrating it gets with TV. You just have them and you can't. So to be able to put whatever your ideas have been into this book, I'm just like really excited for this like moment for you.
Yeah, it's everything you've just said. Thank you very much, firstly. And yeah, I was really itching to become, to use that word again, unfettered, just be me and write the things I wanted to write. Because obviously with TV, you have to be careful. You don't want to offend people. Not that there's anything offensive in that book, but it is a bit more edgy than anything I've written with T4, for instance. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to write a book and I'm going to say the things I want to say. And you know what Penguin said? You can't do that. You're like, you're going to have to take that out. Like, really? Well, yeah, if you want Penguin to publish this, you've got to take that out.
I thought this was my freedom space.
Well, that's the thing. And I thought in a book you can, but it doesn't work like that. But obviously it's a bit more give and take in publishing than it is on TV, you know, Channel 4. Like, no, you can't say that.
Yeah, of course.
Not that we ever wanted to offend people, but we did, you know, put it a bit fast and loose.
To push it a bit.
It's not push
about
it a
offending
bit.
People. It's about, you know, freeing up yourself. These are two different things. And unfortunately, sometimes those things cross over.
I'd actually like people to know that. I don't think people know that we wrote most of T4.
I know it was like a group effort, but when it came down to you and I who worked together the most, it was like, well, we're going to say the things we want to say. Yeah, we like what you're doing here, but I think Makita would say it maybe like that, and Steve would probably say and vice versa. We'd put our own stamp on it. So it was always was a team effort, but at the end of the day, anything that came out of here, that's me and you signing off.
It was really important to us to be honest, not just like tell the truth, but be honest about who I actually am and who he actually is. And that is why we still get shouted T4 at us every day. Yes. People watched, because it was real and it was like honest. No matter if we were dressed up in a crab outfit or whatever, we would still go, but what's, like, why are we here?
What's my motivation?
What's my motivation? Yeah. I can't just be a crab. Yeah. Let me know why, and then I'll do it for
you. It better be funny.
And it better be funny.
Yeah. It better
be funny, because sometimes things that other people think are funny are not funny to you, and if it's not funny to you, then...
But this goes back to what I was saying earlier about the public or the viewers not having direct access to us by saying, you know, the crab costume, shit, and that wasn't funny.
Recently said, we do Gogglebox.
Yeah,
and we did a Gogglebox, and I did a dolphin impersonation because I don't like dolphins. They freak me out. I think they're weird, right? And this was our conversation. And somebody sent me a message on Twitter going, how dare you?
Oh, no.
How dare you encourage people to kill dolphins? I went,
what?
I don't really want to kill dolphins. I've just said I don't trust them.
I think they're creepy.
And I'm not going swimming with them either. Right. Thank you very much. And somebody was like, you're encouraging people to do weird stuff to dolphins. So I'm like, firstly, it's the dolphins we need to be scared of.
Exactly. The dolphins are the predators.
And secondly, go away. Just stop talking to me. I mean, I just block things. Because
Andy Oliver, dolphin phone.
Dolphin yob.
But anyway, to get back to success and you know, freedom at work, what does now in life, for both of you, what does success look like for you? Because I remember Steve said to me once that he was just so happy that he'd found someone that he could sort of run around the world with.
Yeah.
And obviously, but you also are a broadcaster and now writing. Yeah. What does it look like to be in, like, a successful place?
It's a good question. A decent bank balance. If I can be completely honest, I want to continue the lifestyle we've become accustomed to.
Yeah.
And that involves continuous work. And I think that's where F1 has been a godsend. I mean, no one knows better than you guys that with TV, by its very nature, it comes to an end.
Yeah.
Unless you're out on deck. But it's going to come to an end. That's how it works. People are going to tire of it. Turns out with sport, that ain't true. That shit just went on and on forever. So I'm very, I feel very lucky to be part of F1. It's been 8 years of a wonderful time, so can't complain. But yeah, that's what is success for me, being comfortable and continue to live the life we want to live.
Yes. How about you, P?
Yeah, I agree. And neither of us have ever been regular job people. So if we can achieve that and have like our flexible schedule and be able to like, hey, we've got a couple weeks, let's go somewhere. That to me is like really important and lets like
so you travel a lot, like holiday party.
Yeah.
Felicia comes to a lot of the F1.
This job was literally made for you. I can't believe it takes you all around the world in that way. Wow.
So writing, Steve, what I really enjoyed, because I've also have a book out, actually. And I really enjoyed the process of writing. It's like the physical act of it. I found really meditative, slowing down like that, making space for myself that nobody else could kind of almost get into, was just a really brilliant experience for me. Did you like doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. I just love being creative, you know, imagining worlds, putting it on the paper. And, you know, it really appeals to me to go back to the presenting thing again. I did Monaco like last week, a couple of weeks ago. That's on the recording box for a week, then it's gone. And right. with writing and something like call time, you know, it's tangible, it's in your hands, and it's going to be around forever.
Yeah.
You know, that lives and breathes now, whether I'm anywhere near or not. So that really, really appealed to me, just to do something for once that lasts.
God, I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah, with actors and musicians, you know, they get that one song and lives forever. But presenters, it's just so fleeting. It's gone. We present it, well, welcome to the show, you know, and then it's gone. And I just thought, I want to do something.
It's off the iPlayer now. It's off the whatever it's done. So where is that?
You've been thinking about legacy a little bit.
Not so much legacy. I don't really believe in, after everything I've just said a moment ago, I'll contradict myself. Legacy's bullshit. Once you're dead, you're dead. You know, I don't really get that. I mean, just while I'm here to have this thing that I've done that somebody could pick up. But when I die, if I can burn them, I don't give a shit. You know, I'm gone. Who cares that?
In the front of the book, it says, for Chris, who's always with me.
Yes.
And you told me a story about losing a friend when you were young.
And that's him.
It is him. It's the same person. And so was that experience, did it inform this story?
An element of the story, yeah. This story as a whole is about an entertainment / agent to the stars, Bob Bloomfield, who, you know, at a glance doesn't seem like a particularly nice person. But he's not bad. He's sad, essentially, because he suffered this horrific childhood trauma. Him and his brother went on a bike ride when they were kids, and his brother came off the bike and died. Bob's always blamed himself, and he's broken inside. He pushes everybody away. And one day he has this, like, world-altering moment where he goes to a fancy dress party, and part of his outfit involves an 80s mobile phone. During the course of the evening, he rings his childhood home, and his 12-year-old self in the year 1986 picks up on the other side, which gives him the opportunity to save his brother. Ooh. But as we know, when you seek redemption, sometimes it just makes things worse and worse. So that's Bob's story. The only connection between me and him is that one grim life experience that he had, I shared with my best friend, Chris.
Is that how he died?
Yeah, when me, my brother Jonathan and Chris, we went on a bike ride. I was 19, Chris would have been 20. And Chris came off his bike and he died there and then. So,
like straight away?
He died in my arms. You know, he was on the road and I came up and I sweeped him up and I held him there. I could just see, oh, this is the end. He's going.
This is happening, yeah.
So I used that in the book, which I'm still a bit ambivalent about whether to use something like that or not. I have spoken to Chris's family. They're aware of it. They know it's not a story about Chris, although I did borrow that element just because I wanted it to be authentic. That's it. It couldn't be some, you know, two-dimensional cliche. You had to be somebody you believe, and I wanted his grief to be believable. So I borrowed from my own.
You had to use your own.
I had to.
You can't, there's no facsimile for that, is there?
Yeah.
So you were how old, 19?
I was 19, yeah.
See, I was 25 when my brother died. And that thing of somebody dying, bam, you know, 1 minute, it's Tuesday, everybody's fine. By Friday, they're dead. My life fractured and my heart fractured, everything, you know. What was it like for you? Like
the same. Just changed everything. I mean, the dynamic between our families, you know, I knew Chris, we were babies together. He was our next door neighbor. So we lived next door to one another. And it just destroyed everything. Everything changed. You know, everybody was just deeply traumatized from it. the people who were there, the people who weren't there. A part of me felt a little bit guilty because, you know, there were two Jones boys there and just one Lewis boy. And I needed to get away. I ran away from it. I went traveling. I needed to get away from it because even now when I'm back in the valleys, I use that road all the time to go see my uncle. I see it every time. But it was also a part of me, and it feels kind of, I know, childish to say as a 46-year-old, but I just wanted to live enough for two as well. I thought if I go away, see the world, I don't know, that's what I thought at the time. I was, I'm going to go away, I'm going to live as much as I can for me and Chris.
After my brother died, I kept saying to people, there's two of me, there's two of me. Mm. Because, and I do really believe that on a sort of, in a broader sense as well, that all the people that we lose end up within us.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may not be as literal as there's two of me or you, you know, but there is something about carrying love physically in you and with you wherever you go. And I think that if you've lost somebody physically, you think about that more and you kind of embrace that more because you just don't take it for granted because you know how quickly it can be taken away.
Yeah, I don't know how it was for you, but I was angry for a long time as well because it was just so unfair.
It's not fair.
I mean, it just, you know, you talk about only the good die young. This guy just so good looking, so funny, so caring, you know, the very best of all of us.
The very best of all of us.
Really? This guy's really gonna go,
this one?
Really?
What is that?
Why does the world do that?
And it still does, you know, like 26, 27 years later, and I'm still a little bit angry about it because he should be here.
Yeah.
And that was the genesis of the book. Just what would you say to your younger self?
I do think that in the long run for me, what it taught me, I mean, it left pain, obviously, but it also made me even more empathetic as a human being. There's something about that kind of pain and that kind of loss that if you survive it, because people don't always survive it, right, then you weave it into the rest of you. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, and it makes perfect sense. Yeah, I feel the same way. I also feel that when you go through something like that, it just teaches you how precious life is.
Yeah.
And you know, all we've got is the present.
People are like moaning about, oh God, now I'm 45.
I was gonna say Pete, how old are you these days?
I will be 38 next week.
Oh my God. I'm 39 now.
Oh.
And it's like, oh shit, we're in our late 30s. Yeah. Oh shit, I'm 40 next
Real
year.
Real
Steve
talk.
Jones.
This is, I messaged you a little while ago. You were like, I've just turned...
It was 32.
Was it 32? Mm. I thought it was more recent than that.
No, it was 32. And I'll never forget what you said.
It made me... It just made me giggle because I know you were having like a meltdown in your 20s. You were heading towards 30 and you posted this picture and you looked so beautiful and healthy. And I was like, God, all that wasted energy. And here you are at 32, you've never looked better. You know,
I'm not 32 anymore.
And you look fantastic.
I would say the same stands for 38, for 40, for 45, for 50.
I took it in. I was like, he's right. I'll have a lot more to bitch about later, so maybe don't waste it on 31 and 32.
You're never going to be younger than you are today, though.
Right.
You know, you're going to be, oh my God, I'm turning 50. Jesus Christ, I'm 50. You'll turn 60 and think, Christ, I wish I was 50.
Yeah,
you'll turn
70
going, oh God, I wish I was 60.
Remember when I was 60?
Yeah. Don't tell me, God, you remember. I'm already going, I just want to be 34. Phoebe was like, shut the fuck up. So, weirdly, we found this video of my mum's 40th birthday party the other day, which is a crazy thing to see because it's actually a film, you know, on like rather than just pictures. And we had seven people in it that we'd lost over 20 years. Seven people in that film aren't with us anymore. And it was a really visceral way of seeing how physically people aren't with you, because mum gives my uncle Roger a big hug, we give Judy a massive hug, and I thought, that's so funny, I actually don't think about them physically not being here because we talk about them every day, all the time, every day. But seeing that was like, oh shit, I have not physically been near them since they were plucked out of this universe.
And it
just, the surrealness of it, the fact that we found it also as my mum turned 60, so I was just like, you know what? It's a fucking privilege to age, and it's a gift, and it's a gift to get to experience every part of life and not just one part.
So I'm so much happier.
Yeah.
And I'm better. I am better. I feel like I get more fabulous all the time. Do you know what I mean?
We were talking about this the other day.
Great.
I couldn't have written that book 10 years ago. Mm. No way. I mean, that's a life experience book, you know, traveling, meeting people, understanding how things work. That's something that happens when you get older, so I'm very happy.
It feels good. I feel like I'm at the peak of a mountain, and there are more ahead, but I feel like I can look back to
into the foothills of your life.
Into the foothills, the sunny foothills of my life.
That's nice. Right?
But that's how it feels a bit. It is quite sunny.
I was going to say one other thing, which I wanted to tell Makita personally, because I thought she'd really enjoy that, and they didn't print it. Going back to what we were saying earlier about you've got to be so careful nowadays. I did the magazine Then and Now thing at the back. You know, they say, well, then you were doing this, what are you doing now, blah, blah, blah. And the last one was, who were you most likely to be hanging out with back then? And I said, it was Makita and Rick. And they were like, oh, fantastic. What about now? I was like, nah, that pair are dead to me. And they were like, Jesus, why? And I said, well, firstly, Rick Edwards slept with my grandmother. And Makita Oliver, she poisoned my cat. So I said that, yeah, and somebody sent me the article the other day. I looked down, like, fucking great, here we go. And I looked down there, I read it, and then, hanging out with Makita and Rick, brilliant. Now, Makita and Rick, because they're intelligent, funny, and clever.
Oh, no!
Does that sound like something I'd say?
Boom!
No. Really
yeah!
I hate it when people ruin my joke and change my language.
It's insane, isn't it?
That's very upsetting.
Were they like, oh, we can't say that just in case
it's
true?
But then they let me hang myself in the NME. Jesus Christ! Like, I could have done with a bit of that.
A bit of
editing.
Keith,
do you want to say that?
Yeah. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers, cheers!
Growing
older and wiser.
Wonderful to see you, guys. Wonderful to see you.
Well, older anyway.
I'm older and wiser.
Mum, that was quite emotional for me.
I know, you went all funny before you opened the door. You went, oh my God, it's actual Steve is at the door.
It's actually Steve.
And you both, like, looked at each other. You love each other so much, don't you? You've been through a lot together.
Been through a lot together. And I think when you meet people from a certain time of your life, you start to really remember that part of your life in lots of different ways. You know how you can think in memory, oh God, I was like this and it was like that. And then you're with someone, you're like, and all these other things happened. And all these other beautiful things happened. And all these great people were around me. I had a best friend that I worked with every day and traveled the world with.
That you have someone to share those moments with. It is beautiful, that. And I have to say, I really like Felicia.
Oh my God, I knew you'd like Felicia.
Like Felicia Rashad.
I can't believe you got it.
Oh,
Felicia Rashad.
I was quite pleased with myself.
Yeah, they were happy. I was like, oh, nice one.
Also, I was really glad that they enjoyed the food, because it wasn't actually Korean food. It was like inspired by Korean food with, you know, there was a Korean element because I had the little wild garlic pickled, Korean pickled wild garlic.
I think you took the brief and did an Andy Oliver, which is what really people want.
Well, that's what they're going to get.
That's what they're getting. My drink was such a hit. It did everything I needed it to do. It took him back. It brought up emotions. And it was bloody delicious.
Well, the screwdriver.
Recipe. Cheap vodka, cheap orange juice, ice.
Because I tried to fancy it up and you were having none of it.
Yeah, because you wanted to do fizzy, like, that's not, as Steve said, that's not a screwdriver.
No.
It's got to be flat.
It's got to be flat and it's
sweet.
Be
flat, sweet and cold.
How long is it since you've seen Steve?
We haven't seen each other for about 5 or 6 years. And I forgot how much he makes me laugh.
He's funny. He's a funny dude. He is a funny dude.
He's a funny dude.
He's always been a really funny guy.
I think what we know now from talking to him, it's like, I guess it was also quite a monumental life-building part of his life.
Yeah,
he just got this massive show on Channel 4. He didn't really know anyone. And as I said earlier, I think we really needed each other. And I think he loved that I came from a family, a proper rooty family that were about.
Because he comes from a real family that he's very, very close to and he loves. And I guess maybe that's one of the things that you respond to in each other.
Mm.
Actually, that family connection is really, really strong. It was so sad that when he was talking about his friend. That's just an awful thing. I feel like his relationship with P was some kind of salvation for him. You know, like when he talks when he goes, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, very calmly, because I met Felicia.
Mm-hmm.
They're like both sides of a coin, aren't they? They're like a completely beautiful partnership.
Yeah, and I just thank God after all the women and all of that time, he found someone so brilliant. Like he's told me he never wanted to get married. I never want to get married. It's not for me. I don't care. And I just don't think he believes someone like Felicia would not only exist, but you know, when you find what you don't even know you're looking for.
Yeah,
that's what P is in his life.
Mm. Cheers, darling.
Oh, cheers, Mama.
Well done.
Well done, you.
Marvelous.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.